Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, do you like to read good books? I mean, good Christian books, right? I love to read them. I have a number of them. I constantly have to go through and thin out my shelves a little bit, because otherwise me and my wife have determined we would actually be suffocated by the number of books that I like to have around the house there. So I love good books. But what about your children? What about fostering in them a love for books as well? I think one of the best ways to foster a love for reading and a love for good books is to be a lover of good books yourself. But how can we do this deliberately? Is there ways that we can get good books into hands of our children, especially here at Christmas time? You know, my daughter has a system that she uses. I won't be able to recount it from memory here exactly right, but she uses, like, she buys them one thing that's for fun, one thing that's for learning, one thing like that they need, you know, so they get like a toy. And then for learning, they would get like a Christian book. And then for something that they need would be like an item of clothing or something like that. So that middle one, you know, about something that would educate them and so forth, you know, an educational books are great use for that. In the studio with me today is Jim and Sue Holmes. They have come to join me to talk about kids' faith books. And specifically, we're going to highlight one publisher in particular, and that's Christian Focus. And so let me first of all say, Jim and Sue, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thanks, too.
Hey, why don't you guys start by telling the listening audience a little bit about your background. They're going to hear right away that you don't have that normal South Carolina twang in your voice. It's from the South, but not the South of Carolina. It's from a South what?
Yeah, Kevin, I kidded with you last time. I have a Southern accent, but it's a Southern African accent.
That's right.
And I think you should let listeners hear Sue's Southern African accent.
Well, it's slightly different because we grew up in different parts of Africa, so there are variations in the African accent as well.
Okay, so we probably won't pick up on those the nuance of the difference,
right?
There, but how about also not just South African, but is there some? You also spent some time in the UK as well, right?
That's right. Yes,
and so you've a little bit of accent from there as well blended in.
Yes, I think so. We consider that our accents are now almost not specific to any particular region because we've been in different parts of the world. So we've had the influence of obviously Africa where we grew up and then the UK. And now we're here in South Carolina and we've been here for a number of years.
Was it in South Africa that the idea of being involved with publishers started, and then did it move from there to the UK with you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's, we first gained a passion after we got converted to read and then to encourage other people to read good books. And then we just discovered how much of a blessing and how much of a resource books can be, not only to adults, but to children and to families. And when we started selling books in South Africa, and that's a story by itself, we just certainly gained increasingly a passion to promote the best kind of books amongst families.
Mm-hmm. So South Africa to the UK, now in the US. What did you see when you come to the U.S., when you came to the U.S.? Is the level of reading similar, different than you found in some of these other locations? Do people love books more or Christian books more or less? What was your...
Kids, it depends very much on the circles you move in, both here and in England. Moved in circles where it's an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So generally we found that families were interested in and making them read. But we wouldn't be able to comment on a
generalization,
on that.
Right?
Yeah.
The impetus.
If I could just add into that, I think certainly in the U.S. there is maybe more of a conscious commitment to reading on the part of families, and because of the larger critical mass, the number of people here, and the fact that they get together at conventions and in church very often, I think that there is a culture maybe more specific to encouraging reading.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Which we love. We love that aspect of the United States.
Especially, Sue said, in certain circles. Mm. I was thinking right away homeschooling circles. You know, reading seems to be. Now, I don't know. Again, we were associated with homeschooling circles as well. led a homeschool support group and things like that. So maybe it was just, you know, the group that we were in or whatever, but they seem to really try to foster reading skills in their children.
Yeah.
Now, that's not just a good concept for, you know, just well-rounded individuals and so forth. There's actually a biblical basis for this idea, right?
I think so. I think it's really important to instill in young children from a very young, well, from they are from a very young age, the truths of the Word of God. And there's something which has stuck with me for many years when we were listening to a preacher who is the pastor of a very big congregation in London. His church runs a huge Sunday school, and they bring children in from the surrounding areas, children who don't come from Christian homes. They go out, drive out on a Sunday morning and pick them up and bring them into the Sunday school. And his comment was, in talking about this, that they don't necessarily anticipate that every single child who comes through the Sunday school will become a Christian, but the value of knowing biblical knowledge is immense, and it impacts on society. So a child who's been exposed to the Ten Commandments, for example, or has a conscience and a consciousness that there is a God to whom he is accountable, will not so easily go the ways of sin, even if that person isn't specifically converted as an adult. And society reaps the rewards of that. So a child who's been taught that he mustn't steal will have something of a conscience, even as an adult, about stealing or about being unkind to another person, and may, to a greater or lesser extent, have an awareness of the fact that he's accountable to a God who made him. So society feels the impact in a positive sense of training children right from very young in the things of God.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, of course, speaks about the idea of us training our children, and speaks about that not you should know it in your own heart. Let me read it right here. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I remember the book there, the, what's his name? It's escaped me, but Everyday Talk. You know which one I'm talking about?
Jay Yance.
Jay Yance, that freely and naturally sharing the gospel with your children and so forth. And he's, you know, playing off of that verse there.
I think Jay does such a good job just developing the principles there from Deuteronomy, where he talks about those kind of teachable moments that we have with our kids. And with our kids, not only with our own kids, but if you're a grandparent, then you've got grandkids or nephews and nieces or neighbors' kids, or if you're the opportunities for teaching kids are there all the time, that in the face.
Amen.
Facing us all the time, and we just need to seize those teachable moments and to be diligent, like what Moses is saying there, and what God is saying through Moses, to be diligent, teach them diligently. And it's wonderful that we have resources that we have that distill the teaching of the Bible in bite sizes and in comprehensible units that kids can actually get a handle on themselves.
Yes, amen. I was thinking as you were talking about the diligent use of this, you know, to really just try to impress upon them the importance of the subjects that we're talking about. But a lot of times, like you say, you get these moments all throughout the day. I've been in the car with one of my grandchildren, and we're driving somewhere, and I don't remember how in the world we got around to this, but the next thing I know, we were talking about the atonement. And he was only like about 5 years old or something, but he had heard about the atonement, and we were discussing the atonement in the car. You can't, you know, you think, well, I've got to have these scripted moments, and this is where it's really going to take place. No, this was just in passing. Something came up, and it was in that moment that I could speak to him about why the atonement was so important and so forth. So,
you know, that reminds me of William McKenzie, who was taught at Christian Focus, has this saying, and he uses it as a strap line. You're never too young to know Jesus.
Amen.
What a great testimony that you have had with your grandkid in the
yes,
car.
Yes.
5 years of age, and some people, younger kids, will be find those moments to teach
yes.
and to talk so naturally, which will lead, hopefully, we believe, to the knowledge of Christ in a personal saving way.
Amen. It was Newton that referred back to what he learned at his mother's knee.
Hmm.
Here he went off, of course, as a wicked slave trader and so forth. But when they threw that harpoon in his leg and he fell overboard, tossed a harpoon in his leg, dragged him back on board, friends like that, who needs enemies? He walked with a limp, and he said every step that he took, he reminded him of the grace of God. But after that point, what caused him to come to the Lord, or what was used by the Lord, was the words of his mother as a very young boy. When he was at her knee, those words came back into his mind again, and that's when he repented of his sins and came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin, you were saying about the Bible text that kind of undergird this kind of thinking, and I certainly think of, say, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you think there of Newton and his mother's lap, just imbibing those truths, and sure, he maybe rejected them for a season, but ultimately when the time was right, God was pleased by his spirit to use the memory of those things that he'd been taught to bring him, not only saving him to faith in Christ, but to make him a wonderful instrument in the propagation of truth.
Amen.
And who hasn't heard of John Newton? Who hasn't sung his hymns, Amazing Grace, and so many others?
Amen.
And what a testimony in the history of the church, how God has used a godly mother to take the principles of Scripture and to instill them into a young child's heart.
Mm-hmm. Like Timothy, where it speaks about his mother and grandmother, both of them pouring into his life. And Paul notes this when he writes unto Timothy.
Yeah.
So
from a babe, from infancy, thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Sue, you had mentioned a moment ago about the cultural impact, even in our society. I can tell children that like to read because of the vocabulary that they use. Mm-hmm. Your son is a good example. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, that you could just tell in the vocabulary that he's a young man who likes to read. And I've noted that in other young people as well. It just shows because their vocabulary seems to be expanded. It's just one thing, not to mention all of the other items associated with reading the Scriptures.
I think that's so important. When we were living in South Africa, we had a pastor from Zambia come and stay with us. And he had a son who was just turning 13. And he was telling us that one of his aims as a parent was to introduce his son, who was entering his teenage years, to words like propitiation, providence, sovereignty, all those kind of biggish words, omnipotence, omnipresence, because he thought it was very important that in order to understand the work of Christ and the gospel and who God is, it was important for his son to learn those words and to understand their meanings. So he was going to be extremely purposeful in teaching his son that vocabulary so that he would have a clear understanding of the work of Christ, a clear understanding of God's character, and a clear understanding of redemption. And I think it's very important, and that's what you can impart to your children when you read to them and when you work through material that has been specifically presented for younger people and children in teaching them those concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And to him, it was extremely important that in order to fully understand the gospel, his son needed to know those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a huge impact on me, and I think Jim and I have carried that on with our son Matthew to teach him those kinds of things, not to be scared to use the big terminology,
if you like,
of Scripture, in order to teach him to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Right. It really challenges them, and they respond. I find, that they respond to it. They'll ask questions if it's over their head, and so you get an opportunity to spell it out. So I think it works out just fine. Let me get to the publisher that we want to highlight today. Let's talk about Christian Focus Publishing and what they do. What makes them unique among publishers? Who'd like to take that one?
Yeah, see, why don't you tell the story about how they first started publishing with their kids? That's a great story.
Well, it is a great story. William and Karine were purchasing Bible story books for their young daughter, and finding that in many instances the or left out important details that were recorded in this somewhat dissatisfied with them. Karine, being the type of person that she is, started to raise for her daughter. And she tells the story of how her little bowl of water on the floor in the kitchen, and she was sitting at the breakfast bar writing her first Bible story. And so it grew from there, and she's written, I don't know how many books now, but the greater part of the children's books that they have published. And there are over, can you remember how many million?
The numbers are big. I know that Karine, for instance, has done, I believe, 150 books.
150 books. Wow, I got a pile of them here in front of me. They're really well done. And my first book about Jesus, it says here, Little Hands, Story of the Bible, God's Little Guidebooks. Then there's some, these are ones by Brian Cosby here, but A Love for the Lost, David Brainerd, just great books here, a whole pile of the big book of questions and answers about Jesus, A Family Guide to Jesus' Life and Ministry, and that one's written by Sinclair Ferguson here, so. And you, is that, what do you have there?
Yes, I'm just looking up the number of books that she has. There are over 3 million, there have been sales of over 3 million of her books now. So that is just a phenomenal sum that she's written since it started.
Yes, I was
able to. In the kitchen.
In the kitchen with a bowl of water. Yeah. I'm going to get a bowl of water when I go home today and see if anything comes about it.
Don't despise the day of small beginnings.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And they're such a delightful couple. Mm. I mean, Karine is just wonderful to talk to. And William was okay, you know. No, they have sheep, and so I want to talk to them again, you know, one of these days, because we're trying to get into that a little bit ourselves. Sure. But just seemed like a wonderful couple living over in Scotland, right?
That's right. Yeah.
But with a vision for the world and what their books can do worldwide. Yeah. And it's amazing just how from those humble beginnings, and they maintain that same humble spirit, God has used the work of Christian Focus, and especially the work of the children's books published within Christian Focus. So that's why we're so excited about these books.
Mm. One thing I love about their books is that they don't show images of Christ
that's right.
in the book. I don't. I hold their view as well. I don't think it's proper to do so.
Yep.
And so I like their books because of that. If you're buying children's books and you you also believe to the listening audience that showing an image of Christ, you know, breaks the commandment about making a graven image, then these are the books for you, because they don't do it in these books. Now, let me ask you, I want to get to the idea that you folks are willing then, you have a little ministry going where you help churches to get these good books into the hands of their children.
How's that ministry, work? Yeah, it's a ministry that's really just starting. So we just like to go to churches wherever we are made welcome, and to bring along a little display of the books and to present them. We believe in a way that we like to share our own passion for books, and so people seem to receive us well from that point of view. And we offer samples for people to read, and then we're glad to take orders of those books, and we're glad then to consolidate whatever orders we get so that we can get them all shipped in one consignment to us, and then split up and then given out directly to the people concerned.
Well, great. So ideally, like maybe a Wednesday night or a midweek service, so you'd come into a congregation and then have a book table set up. People could see, because when you see the books, and, you know, it's hard on radio here, but when they see the books, you see how wonderfully done they are, how colorful and everything, and then actually be able to read through a sample of them to see the get an understanding for how well written they are, then people would be able to order them. They get them at a discount already.
That is correct.
And then not and only discount.
Shipping free.
There's free shipping.
Discount and free shipping. So
you're like Amazon.
So we like to say there's no reason not to buy a book from us. And like you say, Kevin, they are so well presented, beautifully done. And you said there are no pictures of Jesus, and that's right. And yet the illustrations are so tastefully done. And it's just really what I consider a must-have sense about these books. When you see what they're like and what they can do for your kids, people just see, so you can amplify that, I'm sure.
I think it's important to comment on the variety as well, mm-hmm. because they have pitched them for the very young, and those little ones, my first book, are for the very young. Then they are for the different age groups. They've been very calculating and very specific in aiming them at different age groups. So all the way, there's something for every age group of child. Mm-hmm. And they indicate on the back of the book if the book is going to be read by an adult to the child, what age group, and then also if the child reads it on his or her own, they indicate the ages as well. So they've been very, very specific in that, and that makes the books very useful from the point of view that you know you're aiming it at the right age group, mm-hmm. and it's pitched specifically.
Now, I had mentioned Christmas, and obviously we're just days away from Christmas. There's no opportunity for people to get them in or to receive them by Christmas, is there?
That probably be too challenging at the moment. So, yeah. But into the new year.
Unless you could print them off your printer somehow.
That's it, yeah.
So they could, but they could order it, and then once it was ordered, sure. you know, they could say the child is getting this book, yeah. and it's going to come in the mail shortly after Christmas, so exactly. they'd be able to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, obviously, as we're starting off a new year, I believe in you know, a time of reflection mm-hmm. and repentance and resolution yeah. for the new year coming forward. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Edwards believed in it, made 70 of them as a young boy, and. Anyways, one of the resolutions for the people in our listening audience, the parents that are listening and so forth, is I'm going to do what I need to do mm-hmm. in this upcoming year to help my children to be better readers yeah. and to read better materials. Here would be a great way to do it. You folks are willing even to come to their church, I think within a certain radius, right? And we're not talking, you're not going now.
Yeah, we say if we can easily do 30 miles away from Greenville, we can stretch that a bit if needs be.
Okay.
And then if it's further away from that, then we'll still think about it if okay. we can make it happen. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And of course, there's the website also.
Yeah.
But the website's like a secondary consideration. It's more like a backup.
And ideally, if there's yeah. a good South African restaurant in that area afterwards, that would help go that distance. Is there such a thing as a South African restaurant? I digress.
We have yet to find one. If any of your listeners want to start one, we'll maybe come.
Yeah, it got near lunch, so I immediately gravitated towards, you know, the restaurant. Is there anything that we left off? I'm going to give the Christian Focus website here. Would they do better to look on the website and see what they have and then contact you folks? Because then they can get the discount. That's the key.
look at our website, because okay. that really has the same content.
Okay, let's have that. Give us.
Yeah, so it's Kids Faith Books. Kids. One word, kidsfaithbooks.com.
Kidsfaithbooks, and that's plural, mm-hmm. .com. I'm going to bring it up right here while we're talking, but kidsfaithbooks.com. And right there they can find out all the information about how to contact you, about the books that you're offering through yep. Christian Focus, and about how you can come. Is there a name for this when you come to do the presentation?
Just that.
Kids Faith Book presentation. Mm-hmm. You can come there to the church. Have we left out any of the details that people would need to know or anything that I wait a second, automatically get a discount voucher?
Yeah,
that jumped out. You know,
yeah, that's a little feature on the website, because yeah. Obviously when we go to churches, we like to try and knock off yeah. some discount, 5%, 10%, whatever.
Oh, good.
On the website, it's a little bit harder, but we've worked out a scaled program where if you buy one book, you may get a little bit of a discount. But if you buy more than, say, $100 worth of books, then there's a 10 or 20% discount
okay.
going up $200.
So if they were using one for, like, a Sunday school class yeah. or anything like that, then...
Absolutely, so...
Well, Jim and Sue...
That's the free freight as well.
So. Free freight, okay. Mm-hmm. Jim and Sue, thank you so much for coming in the studio today to talk about this issue. We pray that the Lord would mightily bless your new ministry,
thank you.
A number of children would begin to read excellent books like those that are produced by Christian Focus. Let me tell the listening audience that we were just talking about ChristianFocus.com is their website, I think, that you can go out to. But also, here's the place that you need to go to find out more about what we were talking about today, specifically KidsFaithBooks.com, KidsFaithBooks.com. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.